Welcome to District Connect, the podcast where we dive into fascinating worlds where data and design converge to shape the future of healthcare. I'm your host, Mosumola Mari, a community manager at Co-Creation Hub, the first innovation living lab in Africa, and I'm thrilled to be your guide on this enlightening conversation. In the studio with me is Stephanie Okwere, a design for health practice lead at Co-Creation Hub. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Mosun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you as well. So let's jump right into the conversation. To all our listeners, today we'll be focusing on the intersection of data and design in healthcare. And Stephanie would be doing an amazing job, you know, on this topic. And then, so I'd like to go straight to my first question. So could you just tell us about yourself, what you do, and what inspired you?
I consider myself a digital health expert. I'm a strategy and program management professional, and I've had over 9 years experience leading the development of public health solutions and technology innovations and fostering collaborations towards improving health outcomes across countries. As regards my education, I have a master's in public health from the University of Manchester, several other relevant qualifications in leadership, strategy, project and portfolio management, and other technical trainings from some renowned institutions. This includes a certificate in disruptive strategy from Harvard Business School, and you know, trainings in leadership and management. And I'm also a recipient of a number of awards. As regards what inspired me to join CC Hub or to take on the role of the Design for Health practice lead, I would say that my entire career has actually been built around designing programs and innovative solutions to improve public health, nutrition, and even livelihoods. So pretty much I've been involved in essentially what the Design for Health has been about, what it speaks, what it stands for, and what it essentially involves. And so it was very easy for me to be drawn to the role. I also believe strongly about in making impacts. As such, I find it really fulfilling taking on this role and contributing to the improvement of healthcare in Africa.
This is amazing. Thank you, Stephanie. Yeah, so for those who don't know what Design for Health is, can you kindly touch on that so that our listener can have an understanding of what Design for Health truly means?
Thank you, Wilson. I believe from what I've said so far, our listeners, you know, will be able to start to understand or decipher what Design for Health is about. But simply put, I would say it's the health-focused practice in Co-Creation Hub. We work with stakeholders in Africa to address public health challenges on the continent by designing context-specific solutions and by exploring three key design frameworks, which are innovation, human-centered design, and you know, technology innovation frameworks. We co-create solutions, we solve problems. We not only work with stakeholders to do this, but we take an evidence-based approach, encouraging collaboration, ownership, and sustainable utilization of our design solutions. As Mosun had earlier mentioned, Co-Creation Hub is a living innovation lab. As such, also within the Design for Health practice, we provide an innovation ecosystem to health startups. We support them to accelerate the launch and delivery of scalable health innovations. We provide co-working spaces, mentorship, incubators, accelerator programs, capacity building, and tailored advisory services. We also provide investments to our syndicate team, basically supporting startups to develop their unique idea and to scale up their businesses. That sums up what we do at Design for Health practice.
That was very enlightening.
Thank you.
So this takes me to my next question. You know, hands-on experience and collaboration, they're very, very crucial in Design for Health. So could you share some of your exciting projects that you've had to work on while at CC Hub?
For us, I would say that all of our projects are exciting. So I'll struggle to mention one on this podcast. But then again, like I've mentioned a number of times, I'm sure as we go through this conversation, our viewers or our listeners rather, we get more familiar with hearing words like co-creating. And because we co-create our solutions, it means that we need to be involved with our stakeholders. And that actually involves a lot of hands-on work and experience. One of the projects I would like to talk about today is our human-centered design drug distribution value chain project that was funded by BMGF with the goal of increasing data visibility and sharing. We hope to achieve this by triangulating data between drug providers, aggregator platforms, public sector management systems, patient consumers in Kenya, Nigeria, and in South Africa. We hope to elicit information on the existing value chain and then essentially co-create contextually relevant solutions. So we held workshops, individual workshops in each of these countries that allowed us to interact directly with the key stakeholders along the value chain. So the drug providers, the patient, consumers, etc., were all involved, you know, in our workshops that were organized in each of these countries. And from these workshops, we're able to co-design research materials that helped us to actually draw data and then also draw insights that helped us to identify where the key challenges were within the value chain and then what methods to utilize to ensure data sharing. It would interest you to know that from these three different, you know, conversations and workshops that were happening, we're able to develop three innovative solutions: the PharmaDex, the PayMed, and prescription support tools. We're three technology innovations that for which we developed prototypes for by virtue of this engagement across the three countries. In addition, we have another example that's pretty dear to my heart is the Smiles for Mother project. We worked on this as part of a consortium with Solina in the lead and then Clinton Health Access Initiative, CHAI, and Meds for Mothers collaborating with us for this delivery. It was delivered in three states, Kano, Niger, and Lagos. And the focus was to innovate to reduce maternal health due to postpartum hemorrhages in this state. For us, our focus on the project was to come up with human-centered design solution. And so we did work with various stakeholders from governments, as high up as directors of family planning across state, director of public health, to senior officers, junior officers, and, you know, mostly state stakeholders, LGA managers, to sit through workshops as well, to identify what the key challenges were, to ideate, to come up with solutions, to come up with prototypes, to test these prototypes, and then to scale them. For this project as well, we're able to come up with various innovations that are currently being adopted in some of the states mentioned. Yeah, so these are some of the examples of ways that we've encouraged interactions with our stakeholders to bring about contextually viable solution that actually addresses the challenges in those countries and in those communities where we've worked.
Thank you. This is mind-blowing. This is mind-blowing. Well done. So, but how do you personally feel about the role of data and design in healthcare?
I generally say that data is life, and to design any solution, any solution that actually should deliver on what it's been developed for, data is very critical. First of all, from understanding the challenges, a lot of times you interact with end users, and sometimes they are not able to fully articulate what their challenges are. It's always very important to be able to build research, even around the end users, to extrapolate data that allows you to be able to make decisions around what the key challenges may be, what the jobs to be done could be in those environments. In addition to that, throughout the design process, interaction with stakeholders are needed. And from all of these interactions, you essentially would be drawing data that would inform the design. Generally, data is also very critical. In recent times, it's a known fact that we're now in a new, will I say, technology dispensation, where there are conversations around artificial intelligence, machine learning, and, you know, the advent of big data. The advent of these technologies or innovations are actually changing the way that we see the use of data going forward. I'm actually also excited to see how artificial intelligence continues to inform the ways that we design solutions going forward. So that's an interesting thing that I'm looking forward to. And that's essentially where I think data intersects with design when it comes to healthcare.
Amazing. So as a healthcare professional, how have you been able to balance the emotions of trust and privacy for your patients?
Trust and privacy, wherever data needs to be used, the question around, you know, confidentiality, access to data and all of that, you know, comes up. And again, beyond even just patients, other stakeholders, governments, partners, development partners, implementers are always very conscious and careful around where the data being collected from their projects are stored or being utilized and who has access to that data. For us at CC Hub and at the Design for Health practice, one thing that's essential and critical to the way we work is ensuring transparency. And so to build trust with our patients or with any of our stakeholders, we ensure that we are transparent about the use of their data. We also seek consent. By seeking consent, we put control back in the hands of our stakeholders and our patients to understand where and how their data will be used and to get approvals for those to be used in such ways. In addition, we implement strong data protection measures, from data encryption to moderating access controls as necessary. Those are also essentially communicated. We continue to monitor our data protection practices as a way of mitigating potential security risk. We conduct regular vulnerability assessments, security audits, train our staff to ensure that we avoid security breaches. And this is also communicated as much as possible to all of our stakeholders. As much as possible, we also ensure that we align with all regulatory policies relevant for data management and data privacy and protection within the field that we work. So these are the ways that we ensure privacy, and we essentially build trust with our stakeholders by communicating and being transparent about how we use the data.
This is great. How do you feel when you see data-driven decisions positively influencing patient outcomes?
I think that overall it's humbling. It's really humbling to think about, to see that, you know, one day something was a challenge and the next day, you know, lives are being transformed or improved by decisions that were made and designs and solutions that have been developed. One of the key examples that comes to mind is our NIMCURE project. Our NIMCURE project is one of the successful ones that we've had. It's been piloted in Lagos, Nigeria. And the focus for that project was to improve patient adherence to TB care. Generally and globally, TB patients are treated through direct observatory therapy, which involves patients coming into specific health facilities where their treatment process will be basically observed. We've seen over time that there are a lot of dropout cases. And with TB patients, why this is critical is that the longer the duration of their disease, the also is proportional to the percentage or the possibility of infection for people within the population. And so adherence to treatment is very critical to ensure that they're able to complete and, you know, be cured from that disease within certain duration. So for us, we came up with a video observatory therapy, which we call the NIMCURE solution. We worked very closely with the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research to develop this solution. We've piloted this solution and we've seen increased adherence among TB patients with the use of VOT via the NIMCURE solution. Mm-hmm. And for us, this was a significant success that has been made. And essentially, it's helping to curb further spread of TB in Lagos, Nigeria. Yeah, so that's one of such projects. It's really been an exciting experience end to end. And I'll say generally that it's really humbling to see how these ideas come together to bring about positive health results for patients.
Thank you, Stephanie, For some of our listeners who don't know what TB is or what BMGF is, can you kindly let us know what it is, the acronym for that?
Right, sorry about that. So for TB, that refers to tuberculosis, and BMGF is Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Thank you, Mosun.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So yeah, the healthcare sector can be very complex, you know, and sometimes a very, very frustrating sector to work in. So what are the challenges that you've had to face, right, integrating data and design in this sector?
I think the major thing that comes to mind is the fact that, you know, there's a lack of democratization of data. That's something that, you know, various organizations are working towards addressing. But the fact that there are legacy products, which means that several organizations actually own their product and as such, in quotes, own their data. Access to such data, especially when they are required to make informed decisions necessarily for the design of new solutions, could be very difficult to assess. There's a need to decentralize access to this data. There's a need to address data hoarding where necessary. In recent time, we've had interactions even with startups and innovators who are interested in reviewing how, you know, EMRs can be linked across health facilities and how data for patients can be accessed across various facilities, you know, as it can be life-saving generally to ensure that people do not need to conduct tests that they've conducted before in one facility simply because their electronic medical records are not linked. And we've actually faced some significant challenges in addressing that. But in recent time, we've seen the government of Nigeria taking a very strong stance in ensuring integration and interoperability of systems that are adopted nationally for use. And I think that's really commendable. I actually look forward to seeing that in the near future, integration and interoperability is one of the key things that we think about when we develop solutions that are relevant to health as a way of ensuring that data is more readily available for design and for decision making within the public health space.
Thank you for that. So healthcare design often involves solving complex problems. So how have you been able to navigate the emotional challenges of empathizing with your patients while addressing some of these issues?
Generally, emotional intelligence is something that as a professional, you have to imbibe, you have to understand how to deal with clients, how to interact with them, especially as it relates to understanding the challenges of your patients and empathizing with them. And for us, that's a critical first step in developing any form of solution. If our solutions must be human-centered, user-centered, then we must first of all understand what their challenges are and be able to incorporate that in our ideation and design process. For us, we use a number of ethnographic tools. The customer journey journey mapping is one of the ways that, you know, you can interact with your stakeholders, basically live with them, in quotes, walk with them through their daily living, walk with them through what it takes, what challenges they face while trying to address whatever needs that they have, and then try to understand, you know, what alternative ways they've been able to implement those or address those challenges that they are facing. And then from doing that, you're able to draw data, draw insights that are relevant for ideation and for developing solutions that can address those challenges. So we make use of those ethnographic tools. We also, you know, empathize with them by, you know, using some soft skills, good interpersonal communication skills, emotional intelligence. All of that come to play in helping us empathize and define what the challenges are for our clients.
Thank you, Stephanie. Feedback is very, very, very crucial. I'm a very big on feedback at CC Hub. Like my practice lead would always say, you need to put yourself in the shoes of the client. So we're very big on feedback at Co-Creation Hub. So could you describe a time when user feedback played a crucial role in improving healthcare design?
I would say that there in all of our delivery, feedback central. You know, when you hear the word co-creation, it tells you that you're creating with someone, which means that we need to constantly get feedback end to end. The NIMCARE project, the health supply chain project, which I've discussed, MeetGov project, we've had a number of projects that have been implemented and design solutions that have been designed based on our interactions and feedback from stakeholders. So I would say that feedback is essential and central to the work that we do at the Design for Health practice.
Thank you for this. What recent innovation in healthcare design have left you feeling hopeful about the future of healthcare?
Over the last month, I've had the opportunity to work very closely with some university innovators. And, you know, I'm excited to see that we're moving away from the traditional telemedicine, health financing platforms to more disease predictability platforms. And I would say one of the reasons why we're able to achieve that this is because of the, you know, advent of big data. Like I said earlier, it's because we can now train machines to be able to see and respond and also predict things. Within the healthcare space, we're seeing that artificial intelligence is helping to accurately predict the onset of various diseases, diseases such as heart attack, diseases such as cancer. Machines can now be trained to review x-rays and test results over time and be able to identify things that the regular eyes are unable to see from this result and be able to estimate correctly the possibility of an onset of a disease for individual patients. And with this happening at this moment, it means that people can better prepare and avoid certain diseases by changing their lifestyles based on the information drawn from this tool. So I'm very excited to see how artificial intelligence transforms the way we implement health interventions and also the way we manage our patients within the healthcare space. That's actually something I'm quite excited about into the future. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you. So for tech healthcare enthusiasts who are willing to go into the design for health sector or space, so what are the emotional and professional skills do you think they should possess or that is most important for them to be successful on such roles?
We've talked about emotional intelligence as a soft skill. Good interpersonal relationship skills is also important. But I think I would recommend that design thinking is a skill that is built among anyone interested in going into the field of design, especially designing for health. Data analysis and research is also important. You must be able to interact with your stakeholder, develop relevant research, understand their pain points, and, you know, develop solutions that you can constantly test and analyze the data for to make your decisions. I'm big on AI and big data and machine learning, so it's expected that I would recommend that, but also because that's the future of design and of solution development. I would say dipping your knowledge in your technical area of focus. If you're working within public health, epidemiology on malaria, learn a bit more about those diseases that you're looking to work on or the areas that you're looking to focus on. Those would be my recommendations for now. There are a couple of other things that you can still learn and improve your skills on, but I'll say these will be the key ones I would recommend from my end. Yeah.
Thank you. So could you kindly touch on design thinking and human-centered design so our listeners can understand better?
We've talked about design thinking a lot on this call and human-centered design. As the name implies, human-centered design simply means that you're taking a user-focused approach in your design. You're putting the end user at the center of your design. And it's actually an approach in design thinking. Design thinking is generally can be seen as an approach to problem solving. Right, you design a solution, you think around the design of a solution because there's a challenge that needs to be solved. So it's basically an approach to problem solving. It encourages human-centered design approach. It encourages a problem-focused approach where you're looking at the problem. It encourages you to consider the opinion of the end users, and it is iterative. You know, it involves, you know, basically asking questions such as, what is the current situation? What is the challenges? What are you currently doing to address the challenges right now? Where are the pain points? It encourages you to also ask further questions like, what if? What if we change this? What if we do this? How does this affect the way that you work? Again, the question, what wows? What really works? If we, based on the insight that we've drawn from what is and what if we implement this, is it going to work for the people that we're working with? And, you know, essentially, what is feasible? In asking all of these questions, you're actually employing design thinking. You're empathizing with your stakeholders, you're understanding where their needs are, you're ideating with them. With this same approach, you're encouraged to develop prototypes, to test your prototypes with your patients, or rather with your stakeholders as well, to see what works, to learn quickly, to fail fast, and eventually to iterate with them to come up with a solution that works for them within that context and actually addresses their solution. So it actually involves the use of various ethnographic tools to actually go from problem to solution in such a way that the end user is centralized in the entire process. That summarizes really what design thinking is. But there's a lot more you can learn online or on the internet around design thinking. The diamond approach, right, the honeycomb approach, those are things you can research to get more information on design thinking.
This is very educative. Thank you, Stephanie. On a final note, what would you want our listeners to go home with today from our discussion on the intersection of data and design in healthcare?
If you're in Africa and you're listening to us today, I believe that there are myriads of challenges that we face on the African continent that can be addressed by design thinking and by developing solutions. So I would encourage our listeners to go beyond identifying problems or complaining about them, to start to think around how solutions can be developed to address those problems. They say that necessity is the mother of invention, and I believe that challenges actually point us in the direction of where the necessity lies. So think about what role you can play in designing solutions that can address the problems in Africa. Those solutions could be either technological or non-technology solutions, right? On the Co-Creation Hub platform, we provide opportunity and support for innovators, people with novel ideas, to actually move from ideation to innovate and to possibly come up with new businesses that actually address challenges on the continent. There are a couple of materials on our website that you may find useful. And I also encourage you to reach out. You're confused as to where to start, what to do. We're available to provide support. So I encourage listeners to go out there, identify the challenges in the communities where you live, and take a bold step towards addressing them.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. Thank you for joining us on this enlightening conversation. Have an awesome day ahead, and until next time, bye.
Thank you so much, Masumola.